nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, good day to you. Welcome back to another episode in our network, OneRadioNetwork.com. This is Patrick Timpone. We're here the week of the 12th of October, and the gentleman you're going to meet and hear his story, it's quite fascinating, so stay tuned, and you're going to hear from Victor Carlstrom. We have studied the monetary system for many years here on One Radio Network, many, many years, 25 or so. So I have a pretty good understanding of how this all works with the Bank of International Settlements, the IMF, the World Bank, central banks, money creation, and such. And quite a bit going on now with this whole COVID thing. But this gentleman is going to tell you a story or two that will curl your hair, I suspect. Very fascinating. His name is Victor Carlstrom. He's a business guy, and he's a Swedish businessman and broker. He's the founder and CEO of Vinnakasa Enterprise Group. So he was involved with a big company. I think 200 employees, financial broker in Sweden, 10,000 clients, and doing very well, young fellow, just upper 20s or so, not even quite 30 years old. And then things kind of started to fall apart when he got involved with some people with the IMF, and so we're going to talk to him. Okay. Mr. Victor, a very pleasant good day to you, sir. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, sir. So, wow. So, walk us through, how did you become involved with this fellow who used to work with the IMF? His name is Hendrickson, right? Hendrickson.
Yes, he's the director general for Swedbank today, the largest bank in Sweden. But it started, I'm 36 years old today, and it started, I was in the top of the financial industry for 14 years. So I started in 2006, and I become, my road to the top was very fast. For the last, say, 10 years, I was in the 1% club in the financial world and did business in Europe, US, Middle East, Asia, everywhere with all the leading banks. And after I had done that for around 7-8 years, Swedish largest financial institution called Folksam was knocking on my door and wanted to have a collaboration with me. So I became Folksam's second full-scale company agent in Sweden with offices across Sweden. This is 2013. So I did this 2013, and it was a very big deal. And to understand a little bit, Folksam is 50% of Sweden's population have Folksam today. So it's half of the country. So it's a very big company. And everything started very good. And after already 1 year, I was the biggest supplier of cash for me. Clients on monthly basis. So, and also because I had developed new products in Folksam, and one of these products I was did develop became the best seller. So it was enormous amount. 2014 we had enormous amount of new clients coming in every month. And for example, say 100 new clients coming in, 10 clients starting to do a due diligence on Folksam. And 10 of these clients, maybe 3-4, was asking too much questions. And Folksam is a company that is very secret, is hiding dunkel. It's a core company form called cooperative. I don't think you have it here in the US. It's very rare.
Uh-huh.
And you have the problem with that company form is that it's nothing is public. Everything is like secret. And the only thing you can go after in a due diligence is the company's own words. And that's why my client started to ask too much questions and wanted to see evidence of Folksam's investments today. And after a couple of months and a year, and say when 100 clients had asked too much question, they demanded me to decrease my volumes. And I started to see many red flags during this period of time. So it was when I started our own investigation into Folksam, I really started to see red flags and financial fraud, to be honest. And even at this time, 2014, Swedbank was involved because we used Swedbank's payment system, SUSE, for all transactions. So I had access to the Folksam client system and to the Folksam Swedbank SUSE system. So it started there, and the director general for Folksam, the highest boss at this time, it was just Henriksson. And in the September 2015, we came in collision with each other so bad that they canceled my agreement and stole my commission I had on a commission account in Folksam, and it was $12 million at that time.
They stole $12 million from you.
Yeah, exactly. That was sitting on my commission account. And through our agreement, it says if Folksam canceled the agreement, they should pay me in 30 days the commission on the commission account. But they refused to do that. And then I said, okay, then I take my clients and go to a new firm, because I had enormous amount of clients in Folksam at this time.
Yes.
And then big problems started, because when I was coming to a new financial firm, then Folksam and the CEO, Jens Henriksson, went after this firm. So that's how everything started. And today, this Jens Henriksson is the most powerful financial guy in Sweden. And they control the whole financial system. So his best friend and childhood friend, Erik Thedéen, is the biggest boss for SEC in Sweden.
So this fellow...
So it started 2015.
Yeah, to back then. So how could you, when you say one of the biggest financial people in Sweden, sir, how could you compare that to, like in this country, would be maybe a Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan?
Yes, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch. I have worked with all these banks in the U.S., both Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch. So
right.
it's been a very, I have.
So Victor, and now, and these people started to really go after you wanted to get your money, right? And you could prove, and now you have a $4 billion lawsuit against them.
What started then as a pretty small issue between my company, Folksam, Jens Henriksson, has now become the largest financial fraud and money laundering crime in history.
Really?
So, and Swedbank and SCB, the two banks I sue in court and the banks I've been working with for the last 14 years, I blew the whistle on these banks, and this year they were convicted from Swedish authorities for this money laundering crime.
They were?
But they were like a little slap on the face, because, for example, Swedbank had $150 billion in suspicious transactions in one branch, and in Estonia, and the whole bank, Swedbank, has The money laundering crime is too big to understand, because all dirty money from Russia, Middle East, all money was flowing into Swedbank, and then they became clean money, and then they were going out to, United States, for example.
So walk us through, Victor, when you say money laundering, we hear the term, you see it in movies, but talk to us very simply of what's going on. There's money that comes from dirty sources, could be drugs or who knows what, and then has to go through and get cleaned up so it could land somewhere and pay taxes on it? Or
why should people in U.S. care, for example, and about this, because many say, it happened in Sweden, but it's not that simple, because if you take, for example, you're in Los Angeles, you buy on your credit card, then Bank of America borrow you money to buy on credit.
Right.
But if you follow that dollar bill from Los Angeles, where it came from the beginning, and you take this drug lord in Pakistan selling drugs, collecting cash and money, deposit into the bank system, send this $100 bill from Pakistan up to Swedbank in Sweden, and then this $100 bill become white money, because Swedbank, for example, buy bonds from Bank of America.
My goodness.
So Bank of America borrow the money from, for example, Swedbank or for different mutual funds, and then they pay an interest rate for, say, a couple of percent on the bonds, and in next step, Bank of America give out this $100 bill to the guy in Los Angeles buying on his credit card.
My goodness.
So that the dirty dollar bill have like traveled all over the world to reach the gas station in Los Angeles.
Interesting. To your understanding, is most of this dirty money from drugs, Victor?
Swedbank has most Russian oligarchs, some of the biggest. You have Russian political people, a lot of people in Eastern Europe. Turkey is some Turkish government officials. I have blown the whistle on. So I was on the inside in this 1% club for say 12, 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I collected enormous amount of information about everything, because I was an agent for banks also in Luxembourg and Switzerland. So all this information I have gathered over all these years, for over a decade. I use that information now against them in court. So, for example, one of the guys we outline in our complaint in court, Iskander Makhmutov, that's the most dangerous Russian oligarch you have today. And this prosecutor in Spain who has to go after him, he have more security than the prime minister in Spain. He have like 12, 13 bodyguards and travel in Panzer cars and armed cars, because he that's how dangerous this guy is. And I outline like a football team with people like this. And for example, Iskander Makhmutov, he had over 200 accounts in Swedbank.
Sweat.
Different options.
And how do you spell this bank, Swedbank?
S-W-E-D-B-A-N-K, Swedbank.
Oh.
And if you go to Swedbank and money laundering, you can read for days, because it has been the biggest money laundering crime in history. That started 5 years ago.
Do you have any evidence that, since this one party was ex-IMF, any evidence to show that the big guys, the IMF and the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, the ECB, World Bank, are involved with dirty money? Is there any evidence to show that? Maybe the Federal Reserve Bank of New York?
The only thing I can say about IMF is I think it's a corrupt organization. Jens Henriksson was a chief in IMF before, he was responsible for giving out large loans to the Baltics.
Yes.
And then this money laundering scheme was coming from Baltics, but the people in his circle goes and get very good jobs in IMF. For example, the minister in Sweden now, Magdalena Andersson, was appointed last week to a head position on IMF. And I think she's a very corrupt person. And when IMF hire a person like that, it's a lot of red, as you can say.
Yes. So, when money has to get cleaned, how could you even tell what was going on? And I don't understand what business of it was yours. This is one of your biggest clients, right?
I was the middle. I was a brokerage firm, so
yes.
I was working with all banks. But also I was learning the system, how the banks, that's where I work with U.S. authorities today, because the biggest robbery in history is the international banks robbing the United States of money every day. Because all the banks outside U.S., they use U.S. dollar for pretty much all transactions.
Yes.
They invest their money on the U.S. stock market, on New York Stock Exchange. And they don't pay anything for it. U.S. don't make any money. Some companies that have dividend, they get the withholding tax from, but from the rest, U.S. gets zero. And these banks like making so much money. Take only a bank like Swedbank. They made around almost $3 billion last year and in profit. And it's one of 10 profitable banks like this only in Sweden. So U.S. can make so much money if they start to put in time to negotiate the terms. For example, and transaction tax, you have so many things you can put into the system to make so much money. All the banks need U.S. Every bank in the world need U.S. If you take away the dollar clearing from a bank and forbid them to do business in U.S. dollar, the bank goes bankrupt in 6 to 8 months, I would say, all banks in the world.
That's why the dollar remains such a strong reserve currency. Because there's so much dollar-denominated debt, Mr. Carlstrom?
Yeah, dollar is the world trading currency, and you have no alternatives today. So that's why I think the U.S. should use that leverage and make money from it. And I also think U.S., because all these banks and pension funds and mutual funds around the world, they invest the money on New York Stock Exchange, in Facebook, and all these Apple, the biggest tech companies. And they make so much money from it. But U.S. don't get anything. They go into the stock market, they make the money, and then they take the money out and pay 0% tax.
How do they do that? With zero? Explain how they can do it without taxes.
Because they pay taxes in the country where they are from.
Okay.
And many of these structures are set up in tax havens or in countries with very low tax, or in structures with very low tax or zero tax.
Mm-hmm.
So they make the money on U.S. stock market and then they take the money out. So if U.S. only put in like a transaction tax, like Italy and United Kingdom have similar examples, they would make so much money. So there is so many tools you can put into the system to start to make. And we're talking of too much money to count.
Yeah.
So that's why I work on an act called the Carlstrom Act, where a lot of things of this is going to be explained.
Yeah. Do you suppose that's one of the reasons why these huge banks and more of the globalist types are really don't like Donald Trump, because he wants to try to get some more money for this country doing these kind of things? Is that fair, do you think?
I was in, it's pretty funny you say that, because Donald Trump is a nightmare for the banks. I was in he's a nightmare, because I was in Luxembourg working when Obama was elected. And 2008 it was, yes, 2008.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember all banks was kicking out the U.S. clients from Luxembourg, Switzerland, Europe, Asia, everywhere. So if you had money, it doesn't matter if you had a couple of hundred millions on the bank, they kicked you out. Because if you had one U.S. client in the bank, one, the U.S. authorities could go after the bank.
Huh.
So they kicked them out. But then after a while, they saw Obama. He didn't care. He didn't go after any banks. He was Mr. Nice Guy in Europe and wanted to be friends with everyone. So and that was not a good strategy. So they started to use this more and more and bring in U.S. clients more and more, but cheat with the documents. You have a tax form called FACTA, and the banks are very professional to cheat with that tax form today. So when Obama was a president in 2016, the banks took really advantage of his kindness. He was a very kind guy, and he's a very kind guy. And also with the trade deals with Europe, it's like a big joke.
Yes.
It's a big joke. Countries export so much things to U.S., but they don't pay any VAT at all because the VAT system is too complicated. Sweden exported $250 billion last year, and a lot of it goes to U.S., but nobody pays VAT. Only the big, largest companies pay VAT, but most of the things coming into U.S., you don't make any money from it. So Trump is a nightmare because he have started to be what's best for U.S.
Yes.
Hmm. And not Mr. Nice Guy.
So he really is trying to do things for this country. This is not just political stuff, showmanship. He, as a banker, you really believe he is.
He's very good for U.S. on an international level. I used to say Mr. Nice Guy never gets the nice girl, because Mr. Nice Guy is always, and Obama was Mr. Nice Guy for 8 years, and Europe and the banks have used that to a certain level today. Huh. And now Trump has come in and put the demands on, but he still has a lot of things to do. And when my Carlstrom Act is drafted, I'm going to present it to some of the senators today, and hopefully some of the tools I have there can help the next president to go after this.
So that would be a good argument why the amount of pushback for this president the last, almost 4 years, 3.5 years, Russia probe and impeachment and all kinds of stuff could be so huge because the big bankers are the people that control Dollar Inc., right? The people that control the dollar, they don't like Donald Trump.
No, the banks don't like Donald Trump, and because he starts to, because everything has been like a candy box from U.S. The financial system, the trades, it's like everybody has just taking everything out of the system. And he's got to stop that flow. And that is very... But I try to stay outside the political,
sure,
political field. But because, long story short, I have an aunt. She lives in United States, in Memphis. She's been living here for 45 years. Mm-hmm. And she told me when I came to U.S. last year... that whatever you do, don't involve yourself in politics, because you have get a lot of enemies then.
Of course. I think you would agree that this kind of information is valuable to people in this country, if to know from the financial world that he's trying to do the right thing for this country. That's helpful, you know, to people.
Yeah, he is great for this country. That's no question about it. And I was on the other side. And I know all the tricks in the books, how the banks do in Luxembourg, Singapore, Dubai, all these countries. I know everything. So that's why I can use these tools now for because I have asylum here in the United States. So I'm here. I will most likely never leave the United States for the rest of my life.
Asylum from Sweden, so they can't extradite you. Okay.
Exactly. I'm the first person from Sweden getting asylum here in the United States. So,
I have a lot of questions for you. Stay right there, okay, Victor? Stay there. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're learning about some big kind of strange things going on in the world of money from this gentleman. And hope you're enjoying the show. I'm learning. I always learn stuff. Here's a great, great thing that you could consider for your health.
This was previously with George Wiseman about his AquaCure machine making hydrogen, gas, and water out of the same hose. Listen.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they are showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form. But it works just as well on animals and plants and lizards and birds and everybody.
And you're saying this because this machine called the AquaCure split into 5 different parts.
6.
I got hydrogen, oxygen, electro, enhanced water, water vapors, monatomic hydrogen. What else?
And monatomic oxygen.
Oh, the monooxygen. And that's what your machine does? It splits it?
Yes, it makes that mixture inside the machine, and all that comes out a single hose, the same hose.
Gas?
As a gas, in gaseous form, yes.
And you breathe it or you put it in water?
So if you bubble the Brown's gas into this water, into, let's say, distilled water, it will go to a negative ORP. And when you drink that, it actually gives your body an electrical energy, these electrons. Instead of sucking energy from you, it gives it. So you can have water that is healthful and not healthful just by the energy that's in the water.
You want to get one? Me too. Ours is on the way. Check this out. Lifetime warranty on the machine itself, and then a 1-year, no questions asked, money back guarantee if you like the machine within a year. I mean, have you ever heard of a warranty like that? The AquaCure. Use promo code ONERADIO, promo code ONERADIO for a 10% discount. It's in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Oh, you bet. And if this is one of the most amazing pieces of technology that I've come across. I'm going to be 74 revolutions around the sun in a month or so. I don't think I look or act like I'm getting close to 74. I think the hydrogen has been a big player in my kind of staying younger and happier and snappier. Of course, I believe most of it is a spiritual idea and what we believe and what we think, but this is very powerful antioxidant, one of the top antioxidative stress relief molecules in the world, hydrogen. You can go to Molecular Hydrogen Institute .org, MolecularHydrogenInstitute.org, and look at some of the studies and peer-reviewed studies, thousands literally, about how they're using molecular hydrogen for healing and health and longevity. Our system, the AquaCure, is a little bit step up from it. It's actually called Brown's gas. You can do more research on that. And then we bubble the water. I drink the water every day. And then you breathe the gas 2-3 hours. I breathe a lot. And when you get rid of oxidation, that is the cause of disease. It is the cause of aging, where things rust. And you'll stick around for, I think, a long time. I don't make any medical claims, but I suspect that you're going to be good for a long time. We'll see. We'll see. So far, so good. The AquaCure machine, check it out. Use promo code ONERADIO, and we'll fix you up. Promo code ONERADIO, 10% discount.
Previously, we were talking with Dr. Rulin Shu, and I had a question about our Pearlseum. Pearlseum is not just calcium, right? It's calcium and minerals and proteins?
Yes. So the Pearlseum, the pearl, inside the pearl, there's, so of course, big part of it is calcium. But more importantly, this pearl contains all kinds of trace minerals, potassium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, and also all kinds of trace minerals, proteins, amino acid, polysaccharides. So it is, it's actually have a very balanced matrix of nutrients for the calcium metabolism. And in fact, they have research discovered that the pearl, the mechanism, you know, the DNA that's in charge of making the pearl is very similar to the human DNA that's in charge of calcium metabolism.
Yes, getting really good calcium in just the right spot, in the bones, that's where we need it, is a challenge. But this is a great product, and it does that. And that's just one of the many benefits. Brush your teeth with it. It's the most amazing thing for teeth you've ever seen. They will look pearly white. Pearlseum, click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source. One Radio Network.
Indeed, indeed. Victor Karlstrom is with us. He's one of the more successful financial brokers in Sweden. 14 years of experience in the international capital markets. He worked with the big boys, Societe Generale, BNP, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, Barclays, all of them. Then he got involved with some people from a fellow that used to be the executive dude at the IMF, and things kind of fell apart. He discovered money laundering on a huge, grand scale, and they start stealing clients, didn't want to pay them millions in commissions. How much commissions do they owe you, Mr. Karlstrom?
No, the loss of today is $4.2 billion, but it started, as I said before, in September 2015. Mm-hmm. And I tried to fight this with all methods in Europe and Sweden, with the best lawyer firms and the best security company. But in January 2019, they raided my offices, the Swedish tax agency, and they took all, they had investigated everything for years, but they took all my company records without giving us copies.
Wow.
And then my lawyers in Sweden told me to get out because they said it was the perfect example for cooking the books, you can say, like the to put on out in me for tax fraud.
Yes.
So they gave me advice to flee to United Arab Emirates and Dubai. So I took my family and left in a couple of hours. And then I was out, it took us actually 2 weeks to reach United Arab Emirates. It was a very dramatic escape because
Fascinating. So you have a $4 billion lawsuit, and you filed in the Southern District of New York, correct? Which is a pretty deep place to go, and do your attorneys feel like you could actually have a chance to win this thing? I mean, can you get these people to court? Generally, they never get into court. They just have a lot of power.
This is about, we filed a lawsuit in December 2019.
Yes, sir.
And it's been almost a year. So it's been a lot of success this year in court. But the defendants, I think, Southern District of New York is the court of Wall Street.
Yes, sir.
So that's the most powerful court in the world.
Yes.
And the case started in December 2019, and today I think it's the largest case that's been in Southern District of New York for the last decade, maybe. Hmm. It's so big, and the defendants, they have hired four of the biggest law firms in the world, all based in New York, and they have over 100 lawyers involved in this case.
100? So defense attorneys? 100
yeah,
defense?
Yeah, on the email, in the last email exchange from the court, it was like 45 partner lawyers on these big firms. So it's like the law bill is it's extremely high. And one big part of it is paid from Swedish taxpayers. So it's not good for them, of course, but... They try everything to get this case to go away.
So far, they have.
But the case, that case is so strong, and we will win this case. My lawyers say they have two opportunities. One is to get the case dismissed, and they are on the way to lose that now. And if they lose that, the next option is to kill me to get rid of this case. So
kill you.
That's why. Yeah, because we will win in court. We have over 200 counts of racketeering, and we need to win two to have them convicted for RICO. And the evidence is overwhelming. So they will lose in court if they don't. If I'm alive.
And then and again to refresh, who is the case against? Many people or just one main? This ex IMF guy, fellow?
No, it's against Sweden. It's against Swedbank, the biggest bank in Sweden. And it's a bank called SEB, who also was convicted for one of the largest money laundering scams this year. So these three banks, then two banks, Sweden and Folksam, the financial company I was in contract with. Sweden's largest financial institution, and then the director general for Swedbank, Jens Henriksson, Erik Thedéen, and Katrin Westling Palm. So it's a lot of parties.
Is this a civil or criminal? Is it civil or criminal?
The civil case is ongoing now, but then I work with the prosecutors in Southern District of New York, and they have a criminal case also. So, but I'm not allowed to talk about that because that's not public. But the civil case is public in court.
I see.
And it's been, there's two cases. Yeah. But
why is it though, it's a dumb question, Mr. Carlstrom, but all these banks, all the problems, all they ever do so far is just get a fine. I think, what did one person get a jail time out of the whole 2008 thing? I think one banker out of the whole thing. So they managed to stay out of court, right? They managed to stay out of jail.
Yeah, but now I'm with this lawsuit, hopefully change that, because I go after the people also on a personal level.
Ah.
So that's, I sue the people that that have crushed me and my families and all my companies, and I also sue the banks. But to see how desperate they are, the last couple of weeks or the last week, the police in Sweden raided many places to go after things about me. It's in the news today. I saw it in the European newspapers all over today.
To discredit you.
They go after companies, they seize documents, they have already investigated everything for 4-5 years. But now when I'm here and they don't find anything wrong, they have never found a single wrongdoing, they acting like my lawyers say, like a wounded animal. They they're going crazy. They raid places all over. And I feel sad for my family that is still in Sweden, because they get a lot of harassment. And
You can't get your family here and have them have asylum as well?
They was with me, but then it was an attempt to kill us in New York in May 2019. And after that incident, we took a decision it was not safe to be around me anymore because of this lawsuit. I go after, in the end of the day, some of the most dangerous people in the world.
They were threatening your family?
Yeah, of course. It's been death threats, and it's a lot of... lot of heat, and after they tried to kill us, the whole family in New York, we took the security to another level, and they are today on an undisclosed location in Europe.
How did they try to kill you?
It's an ongoing investigation. It's also in court. Yeah, I can talk about it. It was they tried to breach a hotel room in New York, and It was a lot of actions, but we can now tie people from Turkey to this attempt. So it's the people I go after in court. So it's people very close to the president in Turkey, Erdogan.
Hmm. So these are very powerful people. You're talking people on the central bank level, you know, the people at the top of the food chain.
Absolutely.
Who control the dollar, essentially, right?
Not maybe control the dollar, but the top. I was in the 1% club as a banker. I did business with all these guys, and now I go after them, and they have been afraid of U.S. all the time because they have avoided U.S. But now, with my case in U.S., I bring so many of these guys into the U.S. court system, and as I told you, this Russian oligarch, he has the Spanish prosecutor have like more security, and the prime minister in Spain. So it's a lot of heat on my head, I can tell you.
Yeah, but so before we go, talk a little bit about this Russian oligarchy. We hear this this term a lot, and of course, Mr. Putin is always front and center in this country. Talk a little bit about the system in Russia and what goes on there with high-level people with a lot of money and power. Can you just give us an idea of what goes on there?
Yeah, I started to do business in Russia first, actually very early 2007 already. Mm-hmm. And in Russia, you have to have political connections. Uh-huh. And everything is bribing. So if you're going to do business in Russia, no matter what area it is, you have to political connection and bribe. And Sweden has become on that level today, because Sweden is a socialist country. And that's why I'm very skeptical to the socialist system, because there's so much corruption in all the socialist systems. So if you go into Sweden today, I would say you need to have the connections in the authorities also to do business on a high level. And if you don't, they put you out of business. And it's the same in Russia. They take everything away from you and say, what are you going to do about it? We are the police, we are the authorities, we are everything. And the oligarchs are the people who use this, the maximum, the system, and take so much money out.
So the oligarchs would be, I don't know, the Zuckerbergs or the Bill Gates or the Googles of the world, and these kind of people in this country, similar.
Yeah, but they steal the money, because they make deals with the authorities. Everything in Russia is about dealing.
Really?
You buy this from me, you get this. Everything is about doing shady deals. So if you go into Russia with no political contacts, you are done. And today in Sweden, if you go into the financial market or whatever without connections in the authorities, they will put you out of business quickly.
Victor Karlstrom is with this fascinating story. It's Victor Karlstrom com. So why do you do shows like this? Is it good for you to get this information out, get the message out, and give you a little more cover, or why do you do them?
You have two kinds of justice today for me, I think, because they have destroyed everything that was important in my life, my family, companies, houses. I have been forced to escape my home countries. You have one justice I see in court.
Yes, sir.
But then I see one justice in the public eye also. So that's why I do this, because they have also going after my reputation in media, and they use this, they try to like paint me as a crook for the last 4 years, but I didn't do anything wrong, because all the investigations have shown no wrongdoing, but still they paint me as a crook to everyone, family, friends. That's the way how they destroy people. And because they own the media in the end of the day, the media is corrupt in Sweden. So I want to get the justice to the people to the public view. It's a justice for me, to friends, family. They see I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't the bad guy. They was the bad guy. So that's why I do this to the public.
And your attorneys, they believe that they can get this case before a jury someday?
Yeah, most of these cases never reach a jury because you reach a settlement before. And now, next year, we come to two very critical stages for the defendant. One is the step discovery. And that will be pretty much impossible for the defendant, because then all the money laundering, everything will come up on the table. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they play that card, because I'm pretty sure they sweat a lot over that step, because it's the end of the day for them.
Yeah, you would think, though, when you have this much money and you have a connection with the central banks, and as you know, they create money on a computer with a fiat currency system. All central banks do, right? They have enough. Money's not the issue. They just monetize debt, right? They buy this. So they'll probably come up with you to want to give you a couple $1 billion to go away before they'll go to court.
They have tried that method. But for me, this is not about money anymore.
Good
because
for you. Good for you.
I have, lucky for me, I have money, but I also have a lot of cost. I have an army of lawyers myself to fight the case, and security, bodyguards, everything. So it's a lot of cost, but I'm not in for it for money, because I want justice. Because my children, they lost everything. They lost the school, they lost the friends. They lost their father. I haven't seen them for 1.5 years. They are young, small children.
God love you.
And I lost everything. Friends, family, all my companies, clients, everything.
Reputation,
and now they
right?
changed.
And they must be pummeling you in the press over there about what a bad guy you are, right? It must be, is it going ongoing?
That they can't find anything wrong, because now they have investigated all companies for 4 years. It was no wrong in no companies. And now the police raided last week and get more information. And they don't find anything wrong. So then the media starts to stop report. That's the way how they. So this case last week have been in the biggest newspaper in United Kingdom. Today it is in financial newspapers around Europe. But the police race last week, they write about that. But in Sweden, they don't write at all.
They don't write.
So they cover up.
Have the media made up a lot of things like they do here in this country? Just make stuff up?
Yeah, but the good thing in this country is that you have two sides. And I love this country so much because you have two sides. You have, if you like Donald Trump, you can look on Fox News. And if you like Joe Biden, you can put on CNN, for example. And these two sides investigate each other all the time. Mm-hmm. The Democrats and Republicans, they investigate each other. And also the media investigate these people. But in Sweden, you only have two companies owned 100% of the media. So there are no investigations.
Yeah.
Two companies own pretty much everything, 97% of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, so when they don't report, no one reports. And I used to say in a corrupt society in like Sweden is today, you need to have three parties for this corrupt society to work. You need to have the authorities. You need to have the companies, of course, but you also need to have the media that don't report about it.
Right.
Because if the media starts to report, it collapses very fast.
Hmm. What would be...
I love that you...
In your opinion, what would be one of the safest places to put one's money? I mean, is it safe in these big banks like J.P. Morgan or HSBC, Goldman Sachs? Are these banks safe for people to have their money in there?
Yeah, I think it. I believe it's safe, but it depends. You should not. You should always have three banks, I used to say, and a couple of miles between them. You have different kind of banks. So if you say Goldman Sachs is more like an investment bank, so they take much more risk than the Bank of America. So it's you have to see different kinds of banks for they are, and so it's not that easy.
A final question to you, and I'm just kind of broad, because you've been in this deep in it for a long time. Do you think the dollar, which the United States has, what, $30 trillion in debt? I think the interest payment on the debt is about $500 billion a year right now. $500 billion interest on the debt.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Much of its own to, well, not a lot, but China, Japan, and then the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, they own, I think, $6-7 trillion of U.S. debt. Do you think the dollar people, whoever control it, the Fed and the ECB, I suspect they're pretty much the same people, the IMF, do you think they can just continue this game and just keep more debt, just more interest, borrow the money from the central bank who creates it to pay the interest? Do you think it can just go on until, will people ever catch on to this system?
It's in the end of the day, it comes down to inflation.
Right.
And you can say interest rate is, what is interest rate? It's
zero.
Price on money.
Right.
No, but interest rate is, what is it? Like, what
it's
is
the
it?
Price of money.
It's price
right.
of money.
Right.
Yeah. And the interest rate is the central bank's weapon to control the inflation with.
Right.
And as long as they keep it around 2% is their goal. But as long as they can keep it there, this can go on. But if the inflation starts to go up, then it can escalate pretty fast.
But the inflation at some point would have to go up. I mean, the Treasury borrowed about $3-4 trillion borrowed from the Fed.
Yeah.
This year, just for this corona thing. I mean, that money's got to get out there, start chasing goods and services, and prices will go up, won't they? How does it not?
A lot of that money was, you call it helicopter money.
Right.
And it was, in long time ago, I think it was in the 60s, in war, they put in a helicopter and it was flying over villages
right.
and dropped money.
Right.
So the people in the village could buy things. And this is the helicopter money 2020, the stimulus package. They put in the money in the tax, so they get the tax return and they check in the mailbox. And this money they spend. So it's a good question you ask, and it's the million-dollar question, you can say.
Well, some people argue that that's why the big banks and the money people are lean towards more socialists, more Democrats, because they can raise taxes and suck the money out and not cause as much inflation. That's an interesting argument.
Yeah, it is always different arguments, and it's a million-dollar question, and if I knew the answer on your question, I think I would not be here.
Well, my best of luck to you, sir. You've been through it. God love you. I mean, my goodness. Your website...
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it a lot.
Yes, sir. VictorKarlstrom.com. A good guest, a great information. Take care of yourself, all right? You stay out of trouble.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. And we will see you soon. And hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. Keep in touch. Email me if I can do anything. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. I love you all very much. Thanks for your support. And may the blessings be.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.